This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ismullah al-Alim. Ismullah al-Alim. The omniscient or the all-knowing. This is within the category of accountability. And I chose al-Raqib yesterday and I chose al-Alim today. Al-Raqib is very specific and al-Alim is extremely, extremely general. It's one of those umbrella names that has with under it many other names that encompass small pieces of what it actually means, like al-Sami' and al-Latif and al-Khabir and al-Basir and al-Muhit and al-Raqib. All these names kind of exist under the general understanding of Ismullah al-Alim. It's in the Qur'an 170 times. 170, if you compare that to the numbers you've heard over the last maybe week or so, where some names are 5 times, or 6 times, or 1 time, or 2 times. 170 times. It tells you that this is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names that are conclusional. You can probably come to the conclusion of this name, even if you weren't told, because it's a natural understanding of the deity or the supreme power or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. It comes in the form of al-alim, it comes in the form of a'lam, it comes in the form of alimul ghaybi wa shahada, the knower of the unseen and the known. It comes in the form of allamul ghuyub, the one who knows all that which is unseen. These are all the forms that the name exists in within the Quran. It comes with a lot of other names. Over 12 different names. It comes with Al-Hakim, and Al-Aziz, and Al-Wasi', and Al-Qadir, and Bikulli Shay', and Al-Ghayb wa-Shahada, etc., etc. There are many names that it comes with. It's one of the names that, when we talk about other names, we point out if Alim comes with it or not, and then we explain why. Because Al-Alim will exist beside another name to clarify a piece of that name. It allows us to understand the name that is associated with. But the name that it comes with the most in the Quran is Ismullah al-Hakim. The highest frequency of the two names together is Ismullah al-Alim ma' Ismullah al-Hakim. And the reason that we have those two names together is because it's his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it going to be used? Knowledge is a powerful tool. It can be either beneficial or it can be harmful. Unless it is associated with wisdom, then there's the potential of it being used in a harmful way. But because it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the all-wise, that's for us to feel a little bit more calm about it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all, and that knowledge will be used in a way that is filled with wisdom, so that it will be directed in a beneficial manner, not the opposite. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And the keys to the unseen or the unknown is owned by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the keys. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. He's the only one who knows them. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he knows that which is on the earth or that which is under the sea. And there is not yet a leaf that falls except he knows it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor is there a pebble in the darkness of the earth or the sea, nor is there something that is moist nor dry anywhere within his creation except he knows about it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's in kitabin mubin, it's documented in a clear record. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna allaha indahu ilmu sa'ah wa yunazzilu al-ghayth wa ya'lamu ma fi al-arham wa ma tadri nafsum madha taksibu ghada وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. He points out subhanahu wa ta'ala five things. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the knowledge of the hour, the knowledge of the day of judgment. And He is the one who descends rain from the sky. And He knows that which exists in the wombs and whether it's decreed for completion or not. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ. And there is no nafs that knows when or where its provision exists, He knows. And there is no nafs that knows exactly where on earth and when it's going to pass away, and He knows. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the omniscient and the khabir and the one who knows the details, subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows most of you. He's the one who knows the most about you. As He created you and have you emerge from the earth, and He knows about you. As you exist as fetuses inside the wombs of your mothers. So don't go around talking about your traits. Don't walk the earth claiming goodness. He is the one who knows if you have piety inside your heart or if you don't. Jalla Jalalullah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, amongst his amongst the ad'iyah that he would make, he would say, Ya man la tarahu al-uyunu wa la tukhalituhu al-dhununu wa la yasifuhu al-wasifun. Or the one who is not seen by eyes, nor do minds have the ability to describe, nor do tongues have the ability to describe. يَعْلَمُ مَثَاقِيلَ الْجِبَالِ وَمَكَايِيلَ الْبِحَارِ وَعَدَدَ قَطْرِ الْأَمْطَارِ وَعَدَدَ وَرَقِ الْأَشْجَارِ وَعَدَدَ مَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ وَأَشْرَقَ عَلَيْهِ النَّهَارِ يَا مَنْ لَا تُوَارِي مِنْهُ سَمَاءٌ سَمَاءً وَلَا أَرْضٌ أَرْضًا وَلَا بَحْرٌ مَا فِي قَعْرِهِ وَلَا جَبَلٌ مَا فِي وَعْرِهِ. When he did his munajah alayhi salatu wasalam, he would speak about Allah. He said, the one who knows the weight of the mountains, and he knows the amount of water in the oceans, the one who knows the number of leaves on every tree, the one who knows the number of drops of rain that come from the sky, the one who knows everything upon which night falls and the sun rises, the one who each sky does not hide the sky behind it from him, nor does any earth hide the other earth behind it from him. He knows what exists at the base of every mountain and the core of every ocean. This is how he would do munajah alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, in the famous verses at the beginning of the Quran, in the sequential form, not in the beginning of its revelation, but in the sequential, meaning when you open the book. Ayah number 30 in Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced to his angels that he was going to put a caregiver on earth, a steward, a successor. So their first reaction was, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Are you going to put on earth yet another creature that will cause corruption and shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we continue to praise you and exalt you. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know that which you do not. And the first thing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing he would do with Adam alayhi salam was what? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So he taught Adam alayhi salam. He taught Adam the names of things. He taught Adam how to articulate, how to describe things, how to talk about things. And when he taught Adam alayhi salam, then he brought the malaika back, and he told Adam, أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Explain, speak. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. When he started to speak and articulate and describe and talk of things, their reaction changed. Malaika are simple, are pure beings. They respond purely to whatever they see. and they don't have any malicious intents inside of them. So unlike the human being who gets jealous and gets, Malaika don't have that. When Malaika said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا, they weren't doing it based on envy. They weren't doing it based on fear. They were doing it based on a pure reaction of what they saw before, of their knowledge of what they had seen before. So they said, this is what we saw, the jinn did before. So their reaction when Adam alayhi salam began to explain things and he began to articulate, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. They said, you're the exalted. The only knowledge we have is whatever knowledge you give us. Indeed, you are the most knowledgeable, you're the omniscient, and you are the hakim. Because what was impressive to them about Adam alayhi salam, what they saw that was different about Adam alayhi salam was his potential for knowledge, was his potential to learn. He learned differently than anything they had seen before. The Malaika are the perfect group within this story to exist. Like, this story would mean nothing almost for us if we didn't have the Malaika as witnesses. Because they are the creatures that have no malicious intent. They have no reason to say something or say something different. Unlike us, we always have some hidden agenda that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and that we keep nice and hidden, and then we try to get our gain through keeping it unknown to people. Malaika don't have that. Malaika just say purely what they see based on their experiences. When they're told to prostrate to Adam, they prostrate. They don't have a problem with this. Nothing bothers them. Because they are pure and they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that they objected when they heard of the existence of a new creature was just based on what they had seen before. And the fact that this was their reaction once Adam alayhi salam began to speak tells you that what they saw in Adam alayhi salam was a potential that they had never seen in anything before him. They had never witnessed something like this. They learn, but Adam learns differently. Adam alayhi salam was able to process knowledge, was able to take information, process it, and then articulate in a way that made sense to him. And he was able to build on it and make conclusions from it. He was able to connect dots and draw parallels. Alayhi salam was able to do something with the knowledge that he was offered from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that they not only could not do themselves, but had never seen anyone do before. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahmanu عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. The first thing that Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala does, he taught the Qur'an. He made the knowledge of the Qur'an available. He made sure that it was something that could be learnt. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. He created the human being. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. And he taught him to speak. He taught him to speak. He taught him to articulate. Al-bayan is to articulate, to describe, to explain things. The ability to make sure, to take a piece of information and allow someone else without actually experiencing it, understand it. That's how knowledge is based. If you could only understand things you experienced, then life would have been very different as human beings. Only the person who experienced the chemistry or the physics or the math would be able to understand it. Only the person who actually went to the jungle and saw the biology and the geography could. But no, we can put that in a book for you, and we can write things about it, and you can read, and you understand. That's why the first word that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, اقرأ. The first word ﷺ would receive from Allah is read. And read not in this term of reciting the written letter. That is utlu. There's other commands for that in the Quran. And that's important too. But اقرأ is to read as in to comprehend, as in to understand, to read between the lines, to read something in an abstract manner, in a figurative way. Need to take a lesson from something. After witnessing, taking the lesson. You use this term all the time. You know, when we say read between the lines, or read this situation, or people on the news. What is your reading into this? He didn't read a book. He observed a scenario, and this is what he understood from it. He's going to explain to you what he believes is the underlying message, or the problem, or based on previous experiences, what this one's going to look like. It's the concept of the learning. A number of important points to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasi'a kulla shay'in rahmatan wa ilma. Wasi'a kulla shay'in rahmatan wa ilma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything with two things, with his rahmah, with his compassion, and with his knowledge. He doesn't use that term, wasi'a, meaning everything falls under his ability to show compassion and rahmah and to have the knowledge of. He doesn't use any other attribute, subhanahu wa ta'ala, within that phrase or that phrasing. In the Quran, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَاغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. That's how the Malaika praise their Lord. Oh, our Lord, وَسِعْتَ, you have encompassed everything through your compassion, through your rahmah, and through your knowledge. They don't use qudra, they don't use rizq. No, they don't use that, because not everything gets the same amount of provision. Some things, their provision ends. His potency, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his qudra, is only based on the mumkinat, not the mustahilat. It has to be stuff that have possibilities to them, not something that has no possibility to. So encompassing only exists for two things. And if you follow along the concept of ilm, you find that it's always associated with rahmah. Iqtiranu al-ilmi bil-rahmah in the Qur'an is something that is repetitive. You find it at least in 12 different places in the Qur'an. Where he talks about ilm, he talks about rahmah. I'll give you a few examples. At the beginning of Surah Saba, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا. He knows that which enters the earth and that which comes out of it. He knows that which comes down from the sky and that which goes back into it. وَهُوَ الرَّحِيمُ الْغَفُورُ. The only place in the Qur'an where Rahim comes before Ghafoor. Everyone else is Ghafoor Rahim. Every other part in the Qur'an is Ghafoor Rahim. The only time Rahim al-Ghafoor in this ayah, when he spoke of his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Rahim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the story of Musa al-Khadr, عَبَدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. One of our servants whom we granted our compassion to, and we also taught and gave him knowledge that he didn't have before. In Surah Al-Qasas, وَرَبُّكَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُكِنُّ صُدُورُهُمْ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Indeed, your Lord knows that which they hide in their chests and that which they make public. Right after that, وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ. From his compassion, he made the night for you a time to sleep and the day for you a time to stay awake. Etc., etc. The verses go on and on. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ. Then, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, those who have established their knowledge amongst the dua that they make, هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Grant us from you a mercy. Well, why? Why out of all the ad'iyah? Because knowledge without mercy is catastrophic. Because knowledge without mercy is catastrophic. It's harm. That's all it is. Yeah. When you have a lot of knowledge and you have no mercy, you blow things up. Right? You drop bombs on large groups of people and you kill them in the millions. You have the knowledge, you know how to put the chemicals together. You know something. No mercy, you kill a lot of people. No mercy, you abuse people. You take the advantage of them. You ruin the environment. You enslave them. You treat them like lesser than yourself. Whenever ilm doesn't have rahmah, it's catastrophic. We're better off without it. If it's going to come alone, if it's not going to come with rahmah with it, then we don't need it. We're better off not having that piece of knowledge. If you're going to have that piece of knowledge, it has to come with rahmah, or else there's something missing. That's why all throughout the Quran, every time he talks about his ilm, you'll find rahmah right beside it, added to it. It's all throughout the Quran. It's something interesting for you to follow if you're interested. The second piece, that's the first one. But his ilm, subhanahu wa ta'ala, muqtarin bil rahmah. His knowledge, jalla jalaluhu, comes with his compassion at all times. He encompasses everything with those two things. Second piece. He knows his knowledge of the future. This is important. When we study his name al-Alim, this is an important piece that you have to understand. You have to take time to comprehend. So, it is separate from understanding his will, his irada. When you study aqidah, you will find a difference between understanding his ilm, his knowledge, and understanding his irada, his will. We have to study them at the same time because people mix them up a lot. But they're very much separate in their basic comprehensions. They're different. Allah's will, what results from it is qada and qadr. The things that happen to us that we have no control over at all, and the things that we do have control over. And everything that happens in this universe is under his qada and his qadr. Qada, we have no control over. Qadr, we have some influence on. But his ilm, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is different. Knowledge is not an impactful attribute. Knowledge is not an impactful attribute. Knowing something or not knowing something does not affect its existence or the way that it actually functions. Ilm is not impactful. Sifa ghair mu'athira. I know that chickens lay eggs. If I stop knowing that, chickens will still lay eggs. They're not affected by whether I know that or not. Ilm in general as a concept is not something that impacts existence. So when he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future, that does not dictate the future. It doesn't dictate it. It doesn't mean that the future now is set. It's going to happen in a specific way because someone knows about it. No, the knowing of something does not mean that it's going to happen that way against the will of people. It just means that it's going to happen with their will. Now we struggle with that. Human beings, they struggle with understanding that. The reason we struggle with that is because the only way we can understand or know the future is if the future is programmed. If it's if you press the space thing on your keyboard and just algorithm play, and everything just plays, trickles out the way it, there's no choice. The only way I know the future is if I turn the little on the car, and then I know I can see the wall, and I can put it right in, and then let it go, and I can predict it's going to slam into the wall because this poor thing has no choice. Well, that's my knowledge of the future. I'm a human being, and that's my knowledge. That's the extent of my knowledge. It's weak. It's based on trial and error. It's based on predictability. It's based on senses. It's based on the fact that there's no specific individual choice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's going to happen next, even though we fully choose. Because time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merely a fraction of His creation. As He created space, He created time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you go to the Quran, you find that Allah talks about Yawm al-Qiyamah in the past tense. Ata amrullahi, fala tasta'jiluhu. Ata amrullahi, it's coming, you know, it's already happened. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's going to happen already happened. It's all the same. He'll talk about the past and the future in the present tense. He'll talk about the past and the present tense. He'll talk about the future and the past tense. Because to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time is just a creation. He sees time subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we... That's why when you ask, what came before Allah? That's a silly question. It's a silly question. What do you mean, what came before Him? If He created time, then the concept of before and after is something that is new. It's something that was, it's a creation. My and your understanding of everything requiring something before it and something after it is a fraction of His creation. He made things that way. That's why my brain always wants to know what's before something, what's after something, what's before something, what's after something. So I understand stuff. I can't understand anything outside of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a part of time. So saying, what came before you, is assuming that He's a part of time, and He isn't. So how do you understand? How do you use that phrase? That's a useless term. It's a term that has no meaning to it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future, Jalla Jalalullah, it's because to Him, this is all the same. Because the past and the present and the future are things that He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala equally. If He didn't, this is why this name is in the Quran 170 times. Because this is a conclusional name. You come to this conclusion. If you believe in al-wahid, al-ahad, then the next thing you go, he's al-alim, he's the omniscient. Because if He wasn't, then he wouldn't be really a God, would He? He'd be a very strong being, but He wouldn't be God. Jalla jalalullah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqaddasa jalla jalaluhu. This is important, this is just to understand. If He didn't know what's happening next, then why would you worship? Anyone who doesn't know what's going to happen next is ignorant of what's coming next. Anyone who's ignorant of what is coming next, there's a small possibility, no matter how small it is, that they can be surprised. And anything that can be surprised can be beaten. Jalla Jalalullah. Of course He knows what's coming next. That's because He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there's no other way to understand God. If He didn't, then you shouldn't be here. If you have problem with Him knowing past, present, and future equally, if you have a problem with that, then why are you worshiping? Jalla Jalalullah. His ilm of al-musta, understanding the future doesn't mean that you have no choice of it. You have choice. You have your freedom of choice all the same. The nature of His knowledge is different than the nature of our knowledge. That's not the second piece. The third piece. Knowledge is strength. And this is a theme all throughout history. Implementable knowledge is strength. It brings power. The most beautiful thing that exists in Jannah, this is what my teacher used to tell me, Rahmatullah Shaykh Shukri. Say the most beautiful thing in Jannah is your access to knowledge. He used to tell us that the most beautiful thing he looks forward to in Jannah is the access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm. The infinite amount of knowledge that he has subhanahu wa ta'ala and your access to it. Your ability to learn. Your ability to expand your mind in Jannah in a way that you did not have the access to in this life. In dunya, you can only learn so much within the time that you're given. But in Jannah, you have full access to it. Yes, we all want the food and the drink and the relationships and the sovereignty and the rest and the relaxation and the... But think about the knowledge. Think about what you can know, what you can learn. Think about the dimensions upon dimensions, the realms upon realms that you know nothing about, you never heard of, that you have access to discovering, understanding. The human brain finds more happiness and more joy in learning something new and understanding it than it does in the highs of food, drink, and sex. In learning, the human brain finds more joy in that. But because we've been conditioned to a certain degree through the beautiful institution of school, because that amazing institution has conditioned us to find knowledge boring, to find it something that is forced upon you, to find it given to you in a packaging that is not intriguing, is not interesting, it does not bring out your curiosity, we end up wanting to step away from knowledge, even though it is the most beautiful thing that we have in this world. And the promise of Jannah is the promise of access to infinite knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilmuhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. He keeps on teaching you, and you keep on learning. That's the first thing he did for you, is he taught Adam. That's the first thing. First thing, خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. The first thing he taught you. You prove that you have the potential to learn. Learn, and then come back. And if you value knowledge, you will continue to learn. The fourth thing, ignorance is the ultimate enemy. Put anything with ignorance. Take ignorance, add something to it. Ignorance, health, bullying. Turns into bullying, into arrogance. Ignorance and wealth turns into tabdir, into extravagant spending. Turns into spending that is not beneficial. Turns into a lifestyle that is harmful to thyself and harmful to everyone around you. And people starve on the other side. Ignorance and religion turns into extremism. Turns into people who don't know how to behave, those who harm other people or those who use their faith in a way that is detrimental. Take anything. Ignorance, power, turns into oppression, persecution. ظلم تكبر عتوب. Harm in this world. Nothing in the Quran is talked about so negatively as jahl is. Absolutely. The thing that is talked about in the most negative manner is ignorance. Which is why the time before the Prophet ﷺ was called jahiliyyah. The time of ignorance. The time where ignorance was emphasized. The emphasis of ignorance. Because there's nothing that's worse than ignorance. That's his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Alim. How do you live with it? It's really easy. It's a simple name to live with. Learn. Seek knowledge. See value in seeking knowledge. And be a lifelong learner. Be a knowledge seeker in your life. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. فضل العالم على العابد كفضلي على أدناكم. The advantage of a scholar over a worshipper is like the advantage that I have over the least of the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's saying, what is the advantage of the Prophet alayhi wasallam over the person who is least committed as a Muslim? That's the difference between a scholar and a worshipper. Someone who prays, doesn't know much, versus someone who has ilm. Again, ilm that is implementable, ilm that grants you the proper understanding of things. He says, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. The person who chooses a path in life, where they are constantly and continuously seeking knowledge, Allah will ease for them a pathway to Jannat al-Na'im. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَا تَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. The malaika will cushion the footsteps of a knowledge seeker in appreciation of what they're doing. To the malaika, this person understands. This person figured out what's valuable in this world, what has importance in this world. He's not running after. She's not running after status and power and wealth and fame. They're after knowledge. They figured it out. حتى الحيتان في البحر تستغفر لطالب العلم. Even the whales in the sea ask Allah for forgiveness for the person who is seeking knowledge. وإن العلماء لم يورثوا درهما ولا دينارا ولكن ورثوا العلم وإنما ورثوا العلم. See, the prophets did not leave wealth behind them. They didn't leave any money. Their inheritance is not wealth, it's not money. Their inheritance is ilm, is knowledge. فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. The person who takes that knowledge took the most valuable thing they'll ever take. It's taking this knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The one who truly reveres Allah is the scholar, is the scientist, is the one who understands. Because the more you understand what Allah did, the more you understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the more appreciation you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more depth of knowledge that you have, the more you're in awe of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And that brings a degree of reverence, a degree of closeness, of humbleness that is unparalleled. And the second piece is spread knowledge. Is teach what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you in knowledge. Offer it to others. Offer it so that this continues to spread. And the more knowledge we spread, the baseline of our ummah starts to rise again in terms of its knowledge. And once the baseline of this ummah rises again in terms of its knowledge, we will find our way again. And as long as the majority of our ummah is ignorant, as long as the majority of our ummah does not understand its own deen, nor is it properly academically educated, as long as that's the case, then we will continue to suffer and we will continue to struggle. It's actually one of the, it's dictatorship 101. All of these rulers, they go to the same class. It's the same class. Keep people uninformed. Keep them uninformed. Make sure there's a lot of distractions, a lot of entertainment, sports, and a lot of movies. Keep them distracted with stuff. You don't want them to slow down and actually learn anything beneficial. Because if they learn the truth of things, then they'll start questioning. And if they start questioning, they'll start finding out the degree and the extent of the corruption. And once they find that out, they won't be okay anymore. But keep them nicely well and uninformed. Keep them nice and ignorant. And then things will stay, status quo will stay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing He did for you, علمك, He taught you. And He wanted you to continue to learn and to emulate His name, Al-Aleem, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that was an example. Bihamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair wa barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.